Okay, so we're on lesson five, creating a nurture sequence for your new subscribers. And like I say, it's going to be a little bit more robust than just that piece, what we're going to talk about today. But the core of today will be about what happens in that process when somebody says yes, then what, and then what, and then what, right? So let's get moving. One of the things before we jump into the welcome email that I wanted to talk to you about, and it is definitely something we're providing you with today. We'll give you a, like just a real brief little script that you can use when somebody goes to your landing page and says, yes, I want this. There's a, like a little, like, seriously, it's just a little blurb that you send, hey, thanks for requesting, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, here it is. So it's kind of a like, hey, I appreciate you asking for this. And, you know, here it is. And, you know, signing your name kind of thing. So it's a deliver the freebie kind of thing. Now, there's two ways to do this, although I would suggest that you you have a separate email, because otherwise it gets confusing when you dump a bunch of stuff on people and you try to combine the steps. Again, it gets confusing. So my recommendation is that you do have that email where you're delivering the freebie, the goodie. The next thing is, because that person is brand new to your list, you want to send them a welcome email, call it a hello email, whatever you want to call it. But that's for your new subscribers. And it's kind of like the first impression that they get after they join your email list, right? It is different from your nurture sequence. So I want to make sure that you understand that it's kind of like a, you know, getting started kind of email. And I'm going to go through the pieces and parts of it real quick. And like I say, we're going to give you the structure for this so that you can replicate it on your end. So you're not having to start from scratch. But I wanted to break it down so that you see the pieces and parts of it. And then, you know, like I say, the template will be immensely helpful when it comes to actually putting it together. So one of the components that I think is super important is, you know, the words thank you are just that. They're incredibly powerful. And I think it's something you should start with, you know, personalizing that thank you, whether there's two ways to do that, honestly. You could do hello, first name. It could be thank you, first name, however you want to word it and whatever feels most authentic to you is totally fine. The point of it is just to make sure you use their first name. I think, again, names are powerful. It validates that you see them and that you honor them. And I think names are probably one of the most incredible marketing tools that we have. So understanding that, you know, we can personalize these emails and making sure that we use that personalization feature is just smart. Thank you. Thank them for, you know, joining your list, being a part of your family, however you want to word it. I just think that's super important on the front side of your welcome email. You want to set some expectations, you know, and again, that goes back to what does that look like for you? Now, when we were doing setting up mine, it was like, okay, what can they expect from us routinely? So similar to this particular person is like, you know, each Monday, you know, you'll get a roundup on all the blog, all the big things happening across the BBC that week and where you live. So point is, they're letting people know that they can expect an email from them on Monday. For us, we were like, okay, you can expect an email from us on Mondays. Our blog usually is published on Mondays, sometimes on Thursday, but be on the lookout for that. So whatever you want to establish, now you may not have this totally clear in your head yet. So don't stress over it. If you don't, you can always go back and edit your welcome email in the future once you get a little bit clearer. When I say you may not be totally clear on this, for example, one of the things we're going to talk about is how do you come up with that consistent strategy for your content flow, right? When it comes to making sure you connect consistently with your community or your new email subscribers. So you may not have that, you know, cemented in your head yet. So start though with some basics, and then you can always go back and edit your sequence if you need to. I mean, your welcome email if you need to. Once we get to that that point where you might learn something that, or have an idea around something that you don't have yet. So, you know, don't stress over it if you're still a little muddy on that stuff. But just letting people know what the expectation is so that they know that you're going to be continuing to give them value. I think that's the key across the board. You also want to tell them who you are, you know, give them a little bit of detail. Now this could be story-based and I recommend that it is, you know, but you want to give them a little insight into who you are so that they feel a sense of relatability with you. And again, that value proposition, how is this person going to matter to me? So making sure you incorporate that a little bit, you know, ask them to whitelist you. I think this is super important too, specifically based off of, you know, some of the service providers and knowing that some of those service providers, depending on who you're using, may not land in everybody's inboxes. So when you ask them to whitelist you, that means that they take a few steps with their email service provider, and that makes sure that your emails go right into their inbox so that they don't miss them. And that's, like I say, that's super important, but you have to give them the instructions. And that, again, that's something is part of our template, I'm pretty sure, so that you guys can incorporate that as well. And then you can give them your best contact info or links to your social channels. I usually use my social channels. And then maybe, like, you know, if you want to reach out, what's the best way to do it? Like, is it Twitter? Is it your Facebook page? Whatever that looks like for you. Everybody, you know, prefers a certain method of communication. So whatever that looks like, is kind of the core components of your email there, your welcome email. Okay, so now let's shift gears slightly. So we've covered the email that delivers your goodie, right? That's the first thing. The next email is your welcome email, and it's a standalone email, but it's automated. So as soon as somebody signs up, they get their goodie, and they'll also get that welcome email. Now, the nurture sequence is set up to start after the welcome email goes out. Now, normally the nurture sequence is spread out over a few days. So my suggestion is that you wouldn't send them your first nurture sequence email on the same day that you send the welcome email. You might want to wait a day or two and then stagger your emails out over the course of, in other words, skip a day, email the next day, skip a day, email the next day kind of thing. Or if you want to, you can actually send them back to back. Whatever makes the most sense to you. I don't think there's what I'm trying to say is it doesn't necessarily matter if you do it back to back. Just don't do it on the same day is my point. Okay. So what is a nurture sequence? A nurture sequence is an automated series of emails. So again, they get your freebie, automated. They get your welcome, automated. And then you set it up to where, you know, in a day or two or whenever whatever you tell your service provider to do, it'll automatically happen. The next piece of it is your nurture sequence. And that, again, is automated. Once you set it up, everything happens in an automated way. So it's just a series of emails that go out to your new person when they say yes to your free offer. And it is a way to love them up and, you know, nurture them, build out your value, et cetera. So let me give you a couple of, here's a little bit more definition of it, why you want to do it. It's designed to nourish and grow that new relationship between you and your new person. You know, you can educate them with your products and services. Depending on how you set it up, we're going to talk about that some too. It's a way to demonstrate your expertise, but the end goal long-term is to start moving them to a place where they're more willing to spend money with you. If you just deliver the goodie and then you do not reach out, connect with them until the next time, like 2 months down the road, you have something for sale and they haven't heard from you from the time they got your goodie till 2 months later when you're asking for a sale, that's going to come across as sour grapes. It really, and they may have already totally forgotten who you are. So this is a part of the warm-up phase, and it's also a part of conditioning them to be on the lookout for your content and start to, again, condition them to open your emails consistently. And yes, you can have nurture sequences for every freebie. In fact, don't get hung up on that though. Some of you may be like rolling your eyes back in your head, like, oh my gosh, I can barely get one done. Get one done first. And then you can go back and start to customize your nurture sequences based on your freebies, but don't stress over it. I'm just planting the seed that you can do that. Once you get, you know, to a place where you have some more bandwidth, you're trying to nurture people in different ways, whatever your end goal is. But again, don't get overwhelmed with it right now. Let's just get the one up and operational, and then you can always circle back because you have the structure for it. And then you'll be able to say, okay, I've got another freebie. Maybe they are totally different. Maybe not so much a totally different customer avatar, but the thing that they're interested in could be totally different. And you might want to love them up separately or differently than you would somebody who came in through another freebie funnel. Okay, so planning your customer journey as you're trying to figure out how you're going to lay out your nurture sequence. This is probably, and I would argue probably the toughest part of setting up your nurture sequence, because it can get muddy and you may not know this yet. So don't stress if this is worrying you when you're trying to put this together. If you're like, oh my gosh, I just don't know. I don't know what this looks like. The key to this, at a bare minimum, what I call a viable product when it comes to your nurture sequence, is to get the first iteration done. Okay. And then you can always circle back. And as you get clearer on your marketing and what you're trying to accomplish and that kind of stuff, you can always circle back. But let's look at it from the perspective of some of you are further down the road than others. Some of you I know are just getting started. So what does this customer journey look like, or the outcome? So I call them, you know, plan the stops, but essentially it's a goal that you want your person to make or how you want to love them up along the way. You know, if your goal is to, you know, bring them into your community in other places, like maybe you would want to have them join you in a Facebook group. If you're trying to build the know, like, and trust factor, maybe you want to use a video piece of content where, you know, you're delivering value, but they can see you, feel you, and embrace that and start to get to know you better. You know, maybe you're trying to create affiliates. You might not want to lead with that, but I don't know that necessarily that you wouldn't either. I think it depends. Like, I'll give you a quick example. Stu is in the keto industry, right? So, you know, he might be interested, his community might be interested in making a little extra money. So that might be something that would feel good and authentic for him. But if it doesn't, don't go there. maybe you're trying to drive repeat traffic to your website. That's definitely a strategy that I use, and I use my blog to deliver value and drive traffic to that blog. But always, I think you need to be establishing yourself as a go-to expert within your area of expertise. So whatever that value add is that you're trying to showcase to your new person, it should, if at all possible, establish you as the go-to person. Now, some of you may not have a lot of content yet. You know, maybe you don't have eBooks designed. Maybe you don't have a bunch of blog content. You're like, well, what value can I show up with? And if you don't have a lot of value yourself yet, then, you know, maybe you can do something like, you know, resources that others have put together, but leveraging it from the perspective of, I really like this resource because blah, blah, blah. You have to come alongside that resource and share why it's important, because that builds your expertise. You're using somebody else's content, but you have to share why it is important and why you thought it was amazing. And that's why you're sharing it with them, because Otherwise, you're just sharing somebody else's stuff and you're totally giving away your expertise in that moment. So if you're going to use somebody else's content to deliver value, make sure you come alongside that content and, you know, add your value proposition to it so that it doesn't look like you're, and again, you're not passing off your expertise to another source. Maybe you want to grow your social media following. So you might have them follow you on Twitter or Instagram or wherever your community is most active. And, you know, increasing engagement always, you know, that could be in a variety of different places or ways. You know, that could be even your Facebook group or encouraging them to leave a comment, introducing themselves. Let's go back to that example, like a Facebook group. If you are trying to drive them to a Facebook group, you could say, you know, go to my Facebook group, introduce yourself, and, you know, start to get connected, that kind of stuff. You could do the same on social media platforms. You could say, you know, retweet me or, you know, go to my Instagram and, you know, send me a DM or, you know, whatever would give you a touch point that drives that engagement or conversation a little deeper. That was just a couple of ideas for you. Like I said, we do have some email templates that we're going to give you, starting with that welcome. Starting with that delivering your freebie email, then the welcome email, and an entire series of nurture sequences. I'm actually going to bring Rhonda in to today's live, and I'm going to have her go through the email sequence with you, the nurture sequence. So,
all the buttons here. Good morning, everyone. All right. And can you see this okay? Are you seeing my screen?
Yep, I can see your screen. And I think it's up on the, and I'm going to drop out and let you have it. I mean, I'll still be here, but
all right.
Got it.
All right. So we put together this nurture sequence, and this is just a way to make this easy for you. It's not something that you absolutely have to stick with every, I do feel like you need to make it in your voice, but it'll give you a structure to get you started. So as Ken mentioned, the very first one is, you know, your freebie welcome email. What does that look like? What should you share in that? You know, that's a way for you to deliver your freebie, get them to take action on your freebie. That's super important that you're integrating that in there, because you, if they're triers, they're buyers, right? So if you get them to take action on it, then they're more likely to be a buyer down the line. So, you know, each one of these gives you just an area where you put in your topic, whatever it is that your freebie is called, etc. And then some of those action snippets, you know, what are those things that you've included in your freebie that, you know, that they're going to, that's going to give them the transformation that you are promising. And then the next one, of course, is that perfect welcome email. You want to welcome everyone to your list. You want to start to love them up. You know, that first impression is super important. You know, what can they expect from you? You know, and what are the benefits of being on your list? You want to start getting some small yeses and some small commitments from them and engage with them and connect with them. So that is really the purpose behind this. And again, you know, it's just a structure for you. Be sure to, you know, craft it in your voice and customize it to your product or service. One of the things that is in this first welcome email Kim mentioned already, let me scroll down to where it is, but it's basically asking them to whitelist your email. And so that's very important. Let's see, where am I here? And then we'll circle back to that. and so, you know, one of the things that you want to make sure, you know, is that your headline and your PS, they're very important. Most people, that's the first thing they look at, you know, is the headline. You want them to be able to click on it, open it up, and start to, you know, action, you know, and read the information that you're providing. And, you know, the PS is also important. That's usually the second thing that people read. So don't skip the PS. You know, you can deliver some additional value inside of your PS. It's not always an afterthought, is my point. The next piece of this is there's two approaches you can take, and you can stack these emails with the perfect welcome. So the next thing that you're going to want to do is share with them some of your best content. So if you don't have content yet, I'll circle to that in a minute. But this is just sharing with, you know, whether it's blog content or, you know, just any kind of value-based information that you can share with them is super important. And it's really the goal of this is to kind of expose them to the kind of content that you provide and also establish your credibility, you know, establish your authority in your niche. And, you know, you can absolutely stack this with the welcome email. And there's different strategies here. So I don't want you to get confused by, you know, so I gave you options. So if you want to go option one, option two, you know, there's, you know, you can definitely do that. So the next piece of this is, let me circle back just for a second. So in that, I believe it's in the PS of this. Hang on. Yes, here is the making sure to whitelist the emails and just reminding them. And that's going to help for two reasons. It's going to, if they whitelist it, you're more likely to land in their inbox. And another thing that I want to, this is kind of a little unknown fact, but anytime you have people clicking on a link inside of your email or forwarding your email or replying to your email, that is engagement. And the service provider, the host provider, whether it's Yahoo or Gmail, you know, Outlook, whoever that service provider is, that if they see people engaging in your emails, then you're more likely to get in their inbox. So engagement is also important in emails as it is in social. So a lot of people don't talk about that when they're, you know, teaching you how to build a list and, you know, engaging with your subscribers. The next one is a how can I help? And this is one where you can further engage with your subscribers. This can be stacked with the other emails. This one is going to provide you insight into what your customers actually need. And so, you know, you don't have to do this one, but I do highly recommend it, especially when your list is smaller. You can engage with those people and you can, you know, get a very clear idea of what it is that they're actually looking for. And you can provide more targeted content based on, you know, their responses. So I definitely highly recommend this. Again, it's, you know, you don't have to do this, but you know, especially when your list is small, you can still manage that, you know, one-on-one conversations with folks. And it's going to be invaluable information for you. Now, this one is one that I highly recommend if you don't already have a bunch of content. So, you know, if you're looking for a way to engage your subscribers and, you know, give them some insight to who you are, who your brand is, and the, you know, how you show up in the world, this is more for you. And so, you know, you can also stack this with all the other ones. So if you want to, you know, do the perfect welcome email and, you know, the best of your content, and then the how can I help and this one, you can absolutely do that. But you can also skip from the, you know, the welcome email to this to let them know who you are and how you show up in the world. And it's, you know, it's definitely a great way to welcome them to your brand. And it's, again, it's ideal if you don't have, you know, a lot of content that you've already created that you can share with your peeps. So Hopefully this is will help you get you going in the right direction. And again, I definitely highly recommend you personalize these and make them, put them in your voice and of course your own products and offerings. But, I do find that templates are very valuable and it helps you get to the finish line quicker. So that's definitely the whole goal here. So hopefully that helps.
All right. So what do y'all think about bringing Rhonda in here too? You get to learn from her as well. Is that awesome? She's wicked smart, guys. I'm telling you. And she has done a lot of work on for us, especially when we were trying to figure out this whole email deliverability problem. I mean, she just dug in, researched a bunch of stuff. We ended up realizing that we really just needed to switch service providers, which is where we are. Since she's still here, I'm just going to go through and see what questions we have. Yes. Technology is great when it works. Yes. Yes, she does. Okay. Thank you, Kim. Yeah, we tried to give you several variations so that you would have a place to start. And one of the things I love that Rhonda just mentioned, where you can pick, like, and basically mash them together if you want to, like, mm-hmm. I like this one and I like that one, and just pick with the ones that make the most sense for you and your business. But that last one, the Get to Know You series, is really good if you're worried that you don't have enough value really yet to, load it up and your emails have, three links to this and one to that and, that kind of stuff. So question, is whitelist different for different email service providers? No, that's really a generic term, that most email service providers recognize. And it basically just means that you as a recipient of an email, agree to get that content. You go through a series of there's like three or four steps usually for each service provider. And it just lets the service provider know that you want that email. And so if they are identifying your content, as the sender, like Rhonda was talking about people engaging with your content frequently, that is a signal to the email service provider that people are interested in that content. Otherwise they start to flag it. Any content coming from you as spam, which means that ultimately that content could go into the promotion folder in Gmail, or it could go into their spam folders. And so your emails could not get seen, which is not what you want. Teaching your subscribers to make sure that they, whitelist your emails is a smart strategy to bypass any algorithms that your email service provider might impose on your emails. And it might not, honestly, it might not even be your emails. It could be just that your service provider, one of the things we discovered is older service providers that have been around forever, their deliverability rates are lower than some of the newer places. And that makes sense because they've had longer to kind of get blacklisted, at least in some cases. So you might fall in under, a lot of previous history with an email service provider just because, the email service provider is determined that, that particular, the ISP, whoever, like Outlook or whoever you have your service with, is saying, okay, this particular, like, Infusionsoft sends all this email, and out of the emails that are sent from Infusionsoft, 10% of them get opened, that kind of thing. Hopefully I didn't muddy those waters very much there, but. Okay, so Kim also says, and this is such a great point, you can ask your new subscribers to, if they're a Gmail user, to mark your email as important so that it doesn't go to promotions. So that's something you could even add to the whitelist instructions if you wanted to. That's a good point. All right, I'm just going up to see what questions we have. Do you see any, Rhonda, that I'm still going up? But
I'm going to drop in a link to, we've got an actual page on our site that has whitelisting instructions on it. So we send people to this link to give them instructions, because the process for each service provider is a little different. But it'll just kind of give you an idea of, you know, what those instructions could look like.
And you guys feel free to just grab those. I mean, just swipe them, copy and paste them. You can make your own page on your website if you want to do that. And that way, you know, you're just linking to it like we do. Whatever makes the most sense, but feel free to use that is my point. That is, you know, something we put together for us, but, you know, feel free to use it. Good point. Yes. So agreeing to subscribe means they agree to get the email from you and you aren't spamming them. Whitelisting means they physically point the email to an inbox and not to spam. Yes. Very succinctly said. Thank you. Okay. So Rhonda, Edward loves your pagoda.
Oh, the gazebo in the back?
I think so. Yes.
Thank you.
So something you guys may not know, so you may be like, oh, I didn't know this, but I'm going to share it with you. Rhonda and I are actually sisters. Did you guys know this? I'm waiting to see if everybody's like, what? So I have to share a story, because my mom, when she was alive, was Miss Green Thumb. And so my mom, Rhonda and I have been switching off taking care of our dad. And as you guys probably know, I've been there. You're probably like, I've seen Kim in that room before. So we've been taking turns taking care of our dad. And anyway, my mom had, the yard is not as beautiful anymore. She used to have an amazing yard with gorgeous flowers, and the little gazebo back there was definitely a place to go hang out. It's kind of cluttered right now. It's not so much beautiful anymore. She made things beautiful. So Mary is saying, no way. Yes. Yeah. So it looks like we got some shocked people. We just shocked some folks. But yeah, Rhonda is my sister, and she has been a godsend, seriously, to me. And she does draw the short end of the stick a lot, because she's on my time zone. I've told you guys that before. So I think one quick thing we were thinking about doing, and I'd love your all's take on this, thinking about doing another open Zoom call tonight, or maybe tomorrow, whichever would work best for you guys. We're trying to put that process together. You know, open Q&A, maybe a show and tell for things if you're struggling with anything. You know, just make it an opportunity to connect and focus on those kinds of things. So what would work best for you guys? Would tonight work better? Tomorrow night work better? Just trying to get a feel for what everybody would. We can't please everybody, obviously, but I am asking for you know, your feedback on a time. All right, so Zoom tomorrow. Yeah, so I'm thinking Zoom would be great, because that will give you guys the rest of today and tomorrow to work through your scripts, you know, figure out what you know, work through the templates, figure out how you're going to put it all together. And we're going to drop in some resources that are specific to Active Campaign in particular, for things like, you know, how do you start, how do you put them in, you know, but you may need some show and tell. So we may actually bring Sandra on. Sandra's also part of the team, and she does a lot with Active Campaign. And so we may bring her on and have her walk you through some stuff. Yep. That's my concern. I'm worried that this is where you're going to get hung up. So, you know, we're going to, it looks like tomorrow is, everybody is, some are, we got one that says tonight, but I'm thinking tomorrow might be our best bet. So we'll get it set up. We'll get it organized. It'll probably be a 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. I'm just going to make a command decision. We're going to go with it. Hopefully that's good for everybody. But if you can't make tomorrow night, just know that it will be recorded. You can have access to the recording as well. So does that sound good? Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, I'm excited that we've gotten this far and you guys are getting ready to start. Like, seriously, this is really where the rubber starts to meet the road. You start getting all the pieces, automating the pieces more specifically. So that's exciting. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to use the group. I know like sometimes just the smallest things that seem like you don't, like I'm hung up, I don't know. And it's just a simple answer. Don't hesitate to ask. Okay. All right, guys and gals. Well, go forward and do amazing things. Rhonda, thanks for jumping in here and helping us today. And we will see you guys. Take care of yourselves. God bless.